Oh, thank you, Jesus. What a time to be alive, to watch the hand of God move and to watch the hand of the devil get slapped and cut off, because it is happening. And what God is doing with the body right now is, of course, we see everything being shaken and everything that's happening that happened. He's bringing conviction. He's trying to get his people back in position. You know, but being in position without surrender is no good. You can't be. So that last song we were singing, Resurrender, it's the opportunity to resurrender again. See, we all notice when we're out of surrender mode and we get into survival mode. Survival mode is a prideful mode. I can do it. I'm anxious for everything. It's me, myself, and I. Surrender mode brings you to a place where you realize you're nothing without him. But with him, you're everything, because he's everything. I am because he is. But he is the great I am. Amen? And James chapter 4, in verse 1, please. Glory to God. And that's what God is trying to do right now. He's trying to bring us into a place where we live a life of surrender. It's called a surrendered life. Amen? Praise God. James chapter, what did I say, 4? Yeah. And verse 1, let's speak it together. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members inside? See, there's a battle within and a battle out. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. And when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity or enemy with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy with God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace, which is God's plan. God's plan. Grace is not a way of escape to do anything you want to do. Grace is God's plan to escape. Amen? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In other words, he gives a way of escape to the humble. But those who are prideful, they got to go through it. Does everybody understand that? Therefore, submit to God. See, surrendered life means submission. You must be submitted to God. That's why the Bible says, put him first. You know, the psalmist said, I always keep the Lord before me. If you keep the Lord before you in everything you're doing, you wouldn't be doing the things you do. Amen? It doesn't mean we won't make mistakes. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean you might cuss or do something stupid. But what do quickly? You refocus. You refocus and resurrender right away. Lord, forgive me. I repent. I repent. That is the beauty and the price that Jesus paid. What an awesome price he paid for me and you, that we can, even when we blow it, we can turn right back and get reconnected again. Amen? Is everybody okay? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he's going to what? Flee from you. Draw nearer to God, and he will draw nearer to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he's going to what? He's going to lift you up. Submit. Humble. Humble. This is a surrendered life to Christ, not to the world. We don't surrender to the world. We are surrendered to Christ. We are resisting the world. Amen? Praise God. Remember, a surrendered life is a constant reset of the heart. It's a constant reset of the heart. We're focusing on the Lord. In Proverbs 6, we'll start at verse 1. My son, if you become shrewd to your friend, if you have shaken hands in a pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself. Everyone say, deliver yourself. For you have come into in the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead for your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. In other words, deliver yourself, humble yourself. In this word, humble yourself, that's why the word says, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. Humble yourself. Sometimes you got to eat some humble pie. Just put a lot of whipped cream on it, man. Humble, humble, humble. It's a way of what? Surrendered life. That is, this, without being humble, you're not living a surrendered life. You're still living for your life, not a surrendered life. See, you and I gave up our life. When you come to Jesus, you gave him your life. But so many people are taking it back, and it causes problems. They fall into a survival mode instead of a surrender mode. Do you ever see anybody who can't swim fall in the water? You know what happens? They go crazy. But you know what? If they'll just hold their breath and be still, they'll bounce. They'll become fluent, buoyant. But because they're trying to survive, they can't. You know, when I was in the military, they used to kick us out of helicopters and make us tread water for hours. One of the things we had to learn, and they would tie our hands behind our back, and we had to tread water, and we had to wait for them to come and get us. We'd be in the ocean floating. And what we learned was that as you get in rhythm and you hold your breath and you float to the top, then you exhale and let it go down. Then you come back. I mean, you get so accustomed that you could almost fall asleep. But that's a place of surrender. But when you're in survival, same thing with somebody who falls in quicksand. They go deeper quicker by trying to get out instead of being still and waiting for rescue. So if you fall in quicksand, I'm not saying just wait forever, amen? Pray like hard and ask the Lord to dispatch some angels and come and get your blessed assurance out of there. Glory to God. Deny yourself. That is a life as a believer, is a surrendered life. We live a surrendered life. You know, not everything's going to go right. Not everything's going to be perfect. Quit trying to fix everything. I need this. I need that. Forget it. You know what that brings you back into? Survival. And it puts you anxious. Anxious. I need a job. I need this. I need that. Ay, 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 ay. Too many eyes. We call it a demonic pizza. Too many things. In other words, I focus on self instead of on the Lord. How many, you know, I'll never forget one day the Lord came to me and sat on the couch and I was trying to figure out something. And he looked at me and he said to me, Guy, what can you do? I can't. I surrendered. That never left me. What can I do that? I mean, what can he do that? He does it much better, doesn't he? He said to me, what can you do that I can't? Well, Lord, you can do it all. Right. Now give it to me. That's why the Bible says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. But so many times, see, the world is in a rush. They don't even realize it. They're in such a rush. They're moving. They're missing all kinds of things God's trying to do. They're missing the signs and the messages from the Lord because they're such in a rush. I mean, we were born in this. We were born in this false reality we call the Matrix. And in this false reality, we're pushed, pushed, pushed until you finally figure out something. See, this false reality, how the powers of darkness operate, once they begin, once they're found about what they're doing is a false reality, they move to another one. And they're constantly recreating false realities. Sounds like the Democratic Party. That's all these political and all of this stuff. They're always creating false realities. So what? People stay deceived. They stay in the dark. They can't see correctly. They can't hear correctly. But God is, that's why he's doing a great awakening, isn't he? He's bringing revival all over the world. You know, so many people want to start a life and they don't know how to wait on God. You know, I've seen so many people marry the wrong person and have children and so forth and struggle their whole marriage. I've seen this all the time. I've seen so many people get a job because they need a job badly instead of, and it was the wrong job. And then they had troubles there. And the worst thing you and I can do is be successful in the wrong assignment. That's a terrible thing to be in, isn't it? And Daniel 10:10. And Daniel was saying this. He said, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And an angel said to him, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and you what? Humbled yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. So many people are waiting on an answer, and God ain't answering yet because a person hasn't humbled themselves. We don't ask in pridefulness. We don't ask in urgency or emergency. We ask in humbleness. Amen? Humbleness. Daniel set his heart to understand what God was wanting, and he humbled himself, and God sent an angel with a word. And Proverbs 16 and verse 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide spoil with the proud. Remember, to be prideful is survival, not surrender. Proverbs 29, verse 23. A man's pride will bring him what? Low. But the humble in spirit will retain honor. Well, pride brings us low. Humility retains honor. And Proverbs 18, verse 13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a what? A broken spirit. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. When pride comes, then what? Comes shame. But what the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 13, verse 10. It says, by pride comes nothing but what? Strife. But with the well advised is what? Wisdom. Proverbs 14, verse 3. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve him. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. That's a surrendered life. Psalm 141, starting at verse 1. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as an incense. The lifting of my hands as an evening what? sacrifice. See, when you lift your hands, you're saying to God, I surrender. So when we worship, we're going to, you know, my daughter was very little. Couldn't speak too many words. And when she'd come up to my knee or whatever, she'd lift her hands and say, hold you. Hold you. There wasn't too many words she could speak, but hold you. That means pick me up. I want to hold you. And when we go to the Lord like this, that still stays with me. I'm going to hold you. Pick me up. Hold me, Dad. Because, see, we approach God not in an adult manner, in a child manner. Because he's God and he's much bigger than we are. Oh, hallelujah. Lifting up of my hands is a what? As an evening sacrifice. Verse 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And do not incline my heart to evil things, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity. Do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let the righteous strike me. It shall be a kindness. And let him rebuke me. It shall be an excellent oil. Let my head, my mind not refuse it, for still my prayers against the deeds of the wicked. Lifting up of holy hands. Exodus 17 in verse 8. It says, now Amalek, he was a king. He came to fight against Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. And so they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now I want you to know that Amalek is an offspring of Esau. So when you begin to see the family line, these are all from the Nephilim race. The fallen angels that came and put on flesh and had sex with humans and produced offsprings. These are still a Nephilim race. They are still here today. That's who we're battling with. Their forms have changed. We are battling against shapeshifters and all kinds of demonic forces. We're fighting the things we can't see, but they're in the unseen realm. How many people have you run into and say, I hear voices? Those voices have a presence. That presence has a spirit. We call them disembodied spirits. They're called demons. We're not to fear them, we're to cast them out. Amen? In fact, this was the first attack against Israel after crossing over the Red Sea. Who was it? Amalek. There was the first attack from any place that came against them after they crossed the Red Sea. It was from them. One of Esau's offspring. 1 Samuel chapter 15. So Moses sat in a surrendered position. Does everybody understand that? He sat in a surrendered position, and God went before him. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 10. So we see Moses fought with Amalek. Now Saul had to also. Saul was going after the king. See, they didn't get the king in the first round. They defeated the armies, but they didn't get the king. Now God wanted the king. 1 Samuel 15, verse 10. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, who was the prophet, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, he was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel. And indeed, he went up to the monument for him. He went to what? Set up a monument for himself. This was Samuel. I mean, Saul setting up a place to glorify himself. This is Saul. Now, Samuel was a prophet going after Saul now. And he has gone on around and passed by and gone down to Gilgal. Verse 13. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from Amalek, the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak, then. So Samuel said, When you were little in your own eyes, in other words, when you were humble, when you were surrendered to me, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Now you got to remember, God wasn't just going out killing tribes. These were the Nephilim race, the offsprings of Satan's kingdom, the fallen angels that produced offsprings called Nephilims. So God wasn't out just destroying tribes. He was out destroying Satan's kingdom that had come in human form. They were hybrids. Verse 19. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Now, did the Lord tell him to bring back the king? No. Did he tell him to bring back any spoil? No. So Saul took it on himself as a pride, not submissive, not humbled, and not surrendered, prideful. Come on, he just left the statue he was building for himself. Verse 21. But the people took of the plunder, sheep, oxen, and best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices than obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Wow. Rebellion is the sin as witchcraft. And stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being what? King. Being king. Wow. Now look what happens. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, your words, and I fear people and obeyed their voice instead. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin. Return with me, that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned around and walked away, and Saul seized the edge of his robe and tore it. So Samuel said to him, The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours, who is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent. Then he said, I have sinned yet. Honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord with your God, not my God. And Samuel said, go back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring Agag, king of Amalekites. Bring him to me here. So Agag came to him casually, thinking he was okay. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death has passed. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag into pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house at Gilgal of Saul. So God didn't let Samuel take any garbage, did he? Samuel hacked up the king. Why? Number one is Saul became prideful. He no longer lived a surrendered life. He had given authority, but he was living according to his authority, not surrendering to God's authority. He was moving in his own authority. And that's what we're seeing all over the world right now. That's what God is exposing all over the place. He's removing those who are living a survival life instead of a surrendered life. He's exposing them. All these politicians and all these people that have been making all these millions of dollars, you know, they only get a couple hundred thousand a year. How do you go out and buy houses for millions and millions of dollars? Because they're corrupt. They do not live a surrendered life to God Almighty. They live a survival life to themselves. The only thing to, listen, you're going to either surrender to the life of God or to surrender to the life of the world, and the ruler of this earth is Satan, one or the other. Ephesians 5, verse 8. What's it say? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because of what? The days are what? Evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit of God, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That means surrendering. Surrendering. Always surrendered life. Amen? Always surrendered life. And I'm going to close at Matthew 6, verse 31. Therefore do not what? Worry. Do not what? Is worry fear? Yeah. Can worry become anxious? You betcha. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? And what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, the world seeks. For your heavenly Father knows that you need of all these things. But seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, nor tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So do not worry, be happy. Amen. You remember that song? Don't worry, be happy. If God be with us, who can be against us? Amen. So we don't want to come into a place of complacency and laziness and stuff like that. We want to stay refreshed, renewed in the presence of God, feeding from the throne room of God. Learning, learning, learning. You know, if you don't learn, you burn. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let the words that have been released to us this morning bring an impartation to us with revelation. Seal it with the blood and seal it with your presence. In Jesus' name.